for you,
Pastor Landis Fisher, here to get us going here with a word from the Lord. So glad you have tuned today. So Barry Timothy Christian Church and Straight Gate Ministries, teachingbible.org. Amen. So we're thankful for your presence today, and we ask that as we get into the Word, amen, this is our regular Bible study. Get your Bible out here this evening. As most of you know, we got started on this past Lord's Day on a message of revelation of the manifestation of Christ in us, and we want to continue with that this evening. There are a lot of really rich things that you and I need to see in the area of this particular doctrine. So we're going to go ahead and dig in. Did get a few comments and a few questions from some people online, and we'll try to address those as well. So always so happy to hear from you when there are comments or questions. Amen. Like to fellowship with you and continue to pray for you, whatever your needs happen to be. And so it is a treasure to me to be able to do that with you, and I love to hear your interactions. It's a wonderful thing. It helps me understand that the teaching is really getting out and it's really helping some people. Amen. So as it is our custom, let us go right ahead at this time and go before the Lord in prayer. Whatever you have that you'd like to pray for, we'd like to invite you right now to go right ahead and put those things in your mind, lift up your hands to heaven, and invite God into your circumstances. Amen. He is helpful, and he desires to be there, just like I love to hear from you myself, being a mere mortal. Almighty God loves to hear from his people, amen, and hear the cries of their hearts. So we want to ask God, whatever you got, never be ashamed to go before the Lord. Remember, we talked about Hannah the other day. She had quite a predicament in her life, but yet God was right there listening, as the Bible says, a very present help in a time of need. So when you have a need, God wants to know about it. And prayer is that intimate fellowship you and I have with him. Amen. So we want to go ahead and do plenty of it. Do more prayer, less complaining, less worrying, all of those things we tend to do rather than pray. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless your name. Father, we praise you. We come in the likeness of Moses, who had to have his partners lift up his hands and continue to pray as you gave the victory to your people. And so, Father, we do it too. Right now, we lift up our hands to you, Lord God, and we submit our prayers and our blessings in your name. Father, we give you glory. We give you praise. Lord God, we thank you for all you have already done, because you really did not have to do it. All you owe us is judgment, but you decided to give us your mercy. You decided to give us your grace. And Father, for that, we want to thank you right now. And Father, we bless your holy name. There are many today, Lord God, who have different needs, Father, and we come together. You said if two or more are gathered in your name, that there will you be in the midst. And so, Father, in prayer, we are touching and agreeing for many things that your children need right now, Father, whatever they are calling on you for. And Father, we know you're with every one of us at all times, that you're always present in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for that covering that you've given us. We thank you that you hear prayer and you answer prayer. And Father, we just thank you that you forgive sin, Lord God, and that you direct the paths of those who trust in you with all their hearts, Father, and lean not to their own understanding. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for what you've already done. And Father, we ask you today in the name of Jesus, look into the prayers of your people. Touch them, Lord God, everyone, and give them your grace. Give them your mercy, Lord God. Give them that feeling of fulfillment that they have been fulfilled because you promised to answer prayer if we call upon your name. And so, Father, we thank you that if it's according to your will, you said we know we have the petition that we ask for. So, Father, help us to learn your will. Teach us to know what's good and acceptable in your sight. Teach us to shun that which is evil and turn away from those things that are not like you. And, Father, we thank you for that sanctifying process that you do by your word and by your spirit. Bless every home and family that's represented here today. Father, many are going through all kinds of turmoil at this time, but we know you know all about us and that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And so we come before you today, Lord God, just to thank you and ask for more knowledge, more wisdom, and above all, more love for one another and also for you, Lord, above all things. We bless you today, Father, and we give you praise. Somebody struggling with a health situation, we lay it up before you right now. And Father, we don't want to go off this prayer without asking you to touch them today, Lord, and we want to thank you also for the ones you healed. There are some you have already healed, Lord, and you've given them the victory. And so, Father, we thank you for those who called in, wrote in, however they contacted us and said that they had been healed, Lord God, by your grace and your mercy. And, Father, we thank you right now for those healings. And, Father, we know you're going to do many more blessings for your children because you promised to give ear to our prayer. And so, Father, we thank you, we bless you, we give you praise. We ask you to bless this Bible study as we go forward, and we ask it all to the praise of your Son, Jesus the Messiah, your only begotten Son. And in his righteous name we pray, and everybody say it together, amen, hallelujah. Go ahead and thank God for the privilege of prayer, amen. I love to give him praise, and I love to call on his name. Amen. So we were talking on this subject on last Lord's Day of revelation of the manifestation of Christ in us. And we were talking about what that really means and how do we take that to thought. It's one of the most humbling things that I have ever studied in the Word because it tells us the supremacy of God and his plan for our lives. And it's something you really need to grasp onto in troubling times like the times that we live in. Because otherwise, the world is so flaky, it's unbelievable. I just look at all the flaky things going on in the world, in politics and governments, and people would, like Jesus said, there would be wars, rumors of wars, but see that ye be not troubled, for the end is not yet, he says in Matthew 24, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence in diverse places, and droughts and earthquakes. He talked about a lot of negative things that you and I see right now going on in the world today. A fight and a grab for power from people who should be satisfied with what God has given them. And they should be shouting out the praise of God, but instead they're threatening one another with war and all these kind of things. But in either case, these things must take place, Jesus said, but the end is not yet. And so there are signs for me and you, those of us who believe what God has said in his word, for those of us who call upon his name by faith in his son, Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, we have a knowledge from God that is given to us supernaturally by the Holy Spirit and by the word of God that we can understand and rely on the things that God has said. So we don't have to be shaken in mind or troubled when we hear about these things because God has already told us to look for these things, and they're right there in the news every day. So we know the Bible is supernatural. There hasn't been anything added to the text since the first century AD. So that will put us back 2,122 years ago. That was the last time there was anything added to the text of Scripture. So you and I can trust the Word. That's why Peter said we have a more sure word of prophecy that we do well to look into as a light shining in a dark place. Amen, because it is the word of God. It has withstood the test of time, and it always will. You can always count on it, because God says the heavens and the earth shall pass away. That's a promise, but my word shall never pass away. So we can count on God's word. But let's get back on our course here. I want you to see today another aspect of this, because it is a lot to wrap your mind around when you think about the fact that God says he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. And we were looking at that in the passage in Romans on last week that we call the golden chain. Theologians have called it the golden chain because it's a chain of things that began in eternity past with Almighty God, and he's executing them right now in time, and they finally end up in eternity, in glory, when we're all glorified and everything in the heavens and the earth have been destroyed, and the earth and his works have been burned up. And God says, behold, I make all things new. And there's a new heaven and a new earth that you and I look forward to. And so we can do this by faith. Faith, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11 says. So we, by faith, embrace the truth of what God has said, and we can apply it to our lives right now. It gives us comfort, even in the midst of trouble and turmoil, as what we have like right now going on in the world. And in many of our lives, we have some things going on right now that otherwise would not be very impressive. Not that we could, you know, easily make it through if it had not been, like somebody said, error, but for the grace of God. You know, that's the reason we can make it through troubling times. And this is why no matter what happens, come what may, we know that the Lord has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So we started to look at these things, and back to the golden chain, that is the chain of events that God has promised in eternity. We're going to take a quick look at that today to give you a few more thoughts about that particular topic. We had really good response from many of you, and we thank God you're tuning in and you're being well fed by God's word. Amen. And continue to pray for us as we do that. So back, and we looked at this a few lessons back, just so to refresh your mind. We were taking a look in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and I want to go first here. Then I got a couple of places I want you to go. You can put a bookmark over in the Old Testament in the book of the Psalms, number 90. We're going to take a look there from the Moses, the man of God. And just those, that's how we'll get started here today. So here in Acts 17, this is the Apostle Paul, who is now administering to the Athenians, which are the Grecian society, because we talked about this a couple of lessons back, that he didn't know exactly where to go. He tried to go to Pontus and Galatia, different places, and the Holy Spirit forbade him, is what it says over there. And then he got a vision of a man over in Macedonia saying, come on over to Macedonia and help us. So he knew exactly where he was supposed to go. And so anyway, in ministering to the Athenians in Athens, Greece, it says here in Acts 17 and 24, they were talking about an idol to the unknown God. So Paul says, let me tell you who the unknown God is, the one you don't know. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are, and all of that. So he's trying to get them to be familiar with the true God, the one and only true and living God. He says in verse 24 of Acts 17, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So he says, God is the supplier. He doesn't need anything from you. But what he deserves from us, on the other hand, is our praise, our dedication, our admiration, and our thanks. That's what he deserves from us. Even our confession, because it just says, we're not like you, God. We have not kept your law. We have not kept your word. And we admit it. We don't want to try to cloak it with a cloak of righteousness of some sort, a phony righteousness. We want to confess it before God. So, and he said, if we confess it, in other words, we agree with what God said in his word about what a subject is. And that's the big difference between us and others. It's not that we're saying we have no sin. We're saying whatever sin we do, God has identified it, and we can count on his forgiveness because he promised. He was so dedicated to your forgiveness and mine, beloved, that he sent his own son, Jesus, to the cross to bear our iniquity in his body on the tree. That's what Peter says. So Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sin, not to enable us to sin, but to give us covering because of God's holy wrath against sin, and also to give us fellowship with God and with one another, proper fellowship in the things that really satisfy and please God. So confession is an important thing, and it's not something you do in some kind of a ritual. It's just to be able to agree with God. The word homologeo in the Greek means to say the same thing. We want to say the same thing God says. If God says it, we agree with it. We say the same thing God says. And so you can put that on any subject that you want to talk about, because the scripture has covered us for every possible subject that we need to talk about and that we need to learn. God defines the parameters of sin. It's not a thing that men do, because men will always legalize sin in order not to have to deal with it. God says, don't legalize it. You confess that it's sin. You tell me about it, and I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So that's a part of the cleansing process, is when you and I come to the place that we confess our sins. It doesn't mean we don't have any. Obviously, it means we do. So we need to be for real about it. Come to God. Come clean. Tell him the things in your life. Not that he doesn't know, but it's for proper fellowship. It's only right. But he says that he is not worshipped with men's hands, as he writes here in the book of Acts. And he said, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, because he is the one who gives life and breath and all things. Everything we have comes from God. There is nothing we have that doesn't come from God. God gives everything in our life, no matter whether it's the air we breathe, the sunshine that we absorb, the birds that fly over our head, or that we serve on the table, or whatever it happens to be. God is the supplier of everything. So for that, we should give him praise and glory, and we should acknowledge him in all things, like Proverbs says in 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart And do not lean to your own understanding. If that's deep for you to try to understand, don't worry about it. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. God has promised to give us direction as we go through life, as long as we acknowledge Him in everything that we do. So here, back to Acts 17. It says, notice this in verse 26, "And He hath made," speaking of Almighty God, "of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. He has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And the reason He does this, verse 27, "that they should seek the Lord." That's the important thing. God makes the world, configures it, makes it beautiful. He gives you everything you need, even though you don't declare that you know Him or that you understand that He is able to give you His word. So many have a controversy today about whether God can even give us His word or not. That's really the way it is. A lot of people, well, we don't know if that's God's word. That's why you don't know, because God has given us His word, and His word is true. His word is pure. The Bible says the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So God says, I've given you a sure word of prophecy. How do we know? Because everything He said about His Son, Jesus Christ, in the Word, came to pass with flawless accuracy when Jesus was revealed to the world as the Son of God. And now time in this present moment in all the earth is centered on Him. So this is something you and I should not overlook. I think you have to be really a hardcore unbeliever to overlook that fact, the fact that Jesus is in the center of your life, no matter what you think. So the best thing for you and I to do is to get to know Him. Understand He let you be here. He still loves you just like you are, even though He loves you too much to leave you just like you are. He will always fix you and make you better. He will clean up your life if you allow Him to do it. You know what? Real love is not a forced thing. It's a liberal, free thing. It's not forced. You can't force anybody to love you. If they don't love you, they don't love you. There it is. You know, wake up and smell the coffee. But if they do love you, you don't ever have to worry about it. They say, I'm with you. I'm there with you. I'm for you. I'm going to be there. I'm concerned about your every need. I will supply all your needs. I'll be there. If there's anything I can do, I pour myself out for you. That's real love. And so what we've seen here is God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means any of you that are hearing my voice today, if you will hear His voice, the Word says, do not harden your heart. So God showed you His love. That's why Paul says God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See that? So He knew we were cursed and we were whacked and we were in sin and we couldn't really do things right. And He came and delivered us by giving His own life as a sacrifice for your sin and mine. Now, you can ignore it. I hear a lot of sophisticated people who think they're very smart trying to shine on what Jesus did. But you know what? You will be sorry, sir or ma'am, whoever you are, because Jesus is a real individual. He's a real person. God has divided time by Him, and you can't really ignore Him. You can act like you do, but it's not going to help you. The fact is, God wants you to trust Him. He gave His Son for you so that you can be saved. So we need to wise up. But the Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I'm trying to preach to you, because preaching is God's vehicle for delivering the gospel to every man, woman, boy, and girl. So we just hope that people who are kind of a little hardened by everything going on in the world will hear the word from God and understand He loves you. He so loved the world, the Scripture says, that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever, that includes you, the hardcore unbeliever, whosoever believes in Him. To believe Him means you trust that He can give you His word. You trust that He died and shed His blood for your sin. You trust that God raised Him from the dead to show you the work had been done entirely to God's satisfaction, because death couldn't have a hold on Him. So He tasted death, the Bible says, for every one of us, in order that He might give us His eternal life, which is a relationship with God. And we looked at that a number of times. John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. So Paul is preaching the gospel, the good news, this unknown God you have over here in the Athenian stadium or wherever it was, there where he preached. He says, is the God I want you to know about, the one who really loves you, who really sent His Son, and He died and rose from the dead to give you eternal life. That's who I am preaching, the one who made everything, the one who defeated death and the grave for you. got up and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So he goes on to say, this is the reason he did it, that they should seek the Lord. Verse 27, Acts 17, 27, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Notice this, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophet, poets, it says, has said, for we are also his offspring. So man is the offspring of God. Now where does that come from? Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26, where it says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness and give them dominion over everything that we have made, all the way in the book of Genesis. So we are the offspring of God, but just like your children and mine, they can reject you if they want to. It's not smart. It doesn't feel good. It's painful most of the time when that happens, but they can do it. And the truth is, man can do it too. You can reject Almighty God if you want. It won't be to your benefit any more than if your children reject you. It's not going to be to their benefit because they actually breach the relationship that you treasure so much with your own children. And so that's a terrible thing. But it's a good thing when they turn around and come back, just like the prodigal son that we read about in Luke chapter 15. He went out and squandered everything his father gave him on riotous living. And it was not until he found himself in the swine pit, wanting to share a meal with the swine, which was really a low spot for a Jewish kid, that he came running back and said, I'm just going to go and ask my father to just let me sleep in the barn and I'll be good. That's my paraphrase. But we know that the father, he says in that parable in Luke 15, he was waiting on that son to turn around. As soon as he turned around, he couldn't wait. He ran down the road to meet him and said, bring the very best of everything and dress my son and put him in good standing again. He didn't even want to hear the confession that the son tried to make. But the fact is, God loves you that much, beloved. He does. He wants you back. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you have strayed away, God says, I still love you right there where you are, and I will still take you back. So as long as you can take your next breath, he'll take you back. You know what I found out? It's better to do it now. Do it right now. Don't wait. Don't waste any more time. You've wasted enough time. Turn around right now. Trust God and believe the gospel that he gave his son for you, and he loves you that much that he gave his only begotten son, and he promises to save you. His character is impeccable. It's above reproach. It's holy. It's perfect. And he loves you, and he wants you to love him back. And that's the good thing about the gospel. So he goes on to say here, for as much in as we are the offspring of God, that we ought not to think of the Godhead as like unto gold or silver or stone graven by the art and the man's device. And the times of ignorance God winked at, but now he commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. So Paul says, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Son, that's the assurance you have. That's an anchor of the soul. That not even death could take the Son of God out. It took him out because he submitted to it. He was in charge. He said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. He did that for you. He did that for me. And he got up out of the grave, declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, told his disciples to go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, pronounce the good news that God loved the whole world, that whoever believes in him will be able to be called the children of God, those who trust in him, who believe in his name. And it's a free gift to you. That's what we were talking about here. And he goes on to say, but now, you know, there have always been people who believe and people who don't. There are only two categories in the whole world, and you and I are in one of those two categories. Either you believe what God says in his book, or you don't. And I'm shocked to see how many people don't. It's amazing that people don't believe what God said. And this is the most flawless and perfect thing that we have on this earth. It's more flawless and perfect than any scientific things that we discover, because it is the Word of God. It was finished over 2,000 years ago, and it continues to be accurate perfectly right now, and it will until the heavens and earth have passed away. So you can trust God at his Word. The people who don't trust God at his Word, no wonder you have a flaky system in your life. So let's get back to this. I want you to see that God had planned to save whoever believes in him all the way back before anything existed. And this is not just a New Testament concept. This is basically found in the Old and the New Covenant. We find it so many places in the Word. And I just want to take you back now to Psalms number 90. So flip over to Psalms 90, which is a set of Psalms that are written by Moses. And they're called by many the Song of Moses. You may find them called the Song of Moses in some places. If you look them up, there are about at least 10 Psalms in that group that are ascribed to Moses, the giver of the law. Psalm 90 concurs with the New Testament, and it says this. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Psalms 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. See that? We dwell in him, like he said in Acts 17. In him we live and move and have our being. We have to be in the framework of God. Nothing can exist without God. But God has chosen to allow me and you to exist within him because he fills all the heavens and all the earth. And you really can't be anywhere away from God. Like one psalm in the psalm says, the psalmist is writing, he says, if I go into hell, you are there. If I go into the heavens, if I go into the deep, anywhere I go, you are there. Why? Because God fills all things. In him, the writer there, Luke in Acts 17 says, in him we live and move and have our being. So you can't get away from him. But he won't force his way into your life even though he surrounds you on every side. But Moses recognizes that here in Psalms 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. See that? You have always been God, and in you we live and move and have our being. That's what Moses is acknowledging here in Psalms 90, verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. See that? God allows you to go out there in the world or into your life with things that are ungodly, just like you sometimes have to do with your own people. You notice you have to let them go when they get to a certain age and you're not any longer responsible. They go out, they want to do what they want to do. But the fact is, you still love them. You never change. You kept your position. And the same thing is true with God. He still loves you even though you've strayed away. And he wants you to come back. And if you do, he will accept you with open arms. And he's given a big price, the price of the blood of his own son, in order to be able to bring you back. And it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom, the word says. Moving on, he says, and notice verse number 4, Psalms 94, for 1,000 years in thy sight, or but as yesterday when it is past. See that? God doesn't see time like you and I do, because he's so vast and he's so immeasurable that a day with him is like 1,000 years. You see that? And 1,000 years is one day, Peter says, and so does Moses. He concurs here. Then he talks about the brevity of your life and mine. You and I only have a short little stint of time, no matter how much time we had. If we had 100 years, that we would say that's a lot. To God, it's a speck. It's a drop in the bucket. Because he is the eternal God who fills all things. He fills all the heavens and all the earth. And a day with him is like 1,000 years. And he says, notice, move on here. He says, thou carriest them away with a flood. And they are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up in the morning and flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. Talking about the short time you and I have to get ourselves together with God. And I want you to know today, right now, if you will trust in him, turn your heart away from whatever kind of an idolatrous thing it may be that's keeping you separated from him, and turn your face toward the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, I will accept you right where you are, and I will forgive your sin. He told them in 2 Chronicles, one of the most famous verses we hear so much in the church, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, and he says, and then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. See, so you and I have need of repentance. And he's not talking about people who don't claim they know God. He says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin and heal their land. See that? God says, I want to forgive your sin, want to heal your land, but I need you to humble yourself before me. says in the Bible in the New Testament, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. God wants to exalt you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to forgive you. He wants to have a good close fellowship with him. Just like someone wrote that song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. That's the way we should feel, that we want God involved in our lives. So many times today, we put God at the fringes, or he's a Sunday-only God, or you know, we don't actually have that practice, the presence of God, every day. We want God in our life all the time. And I'm not saying this about any particular person. It's hard for anyone. I can say for myself. It's very difficult to keep your mind focused on him. But he says in Isaiah 26 that I will give you perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. So the challenge for me and you, being sinful earthlings, if you will, just human beings that are fallen by nature, like in Psalms 51, David says, behold, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So God knows we have issues and that they're deep-seated within us. But he still sent his son, and he had planned to do that even before he made the heavens and the earth. Isn't that an awesome thing? According to the golden chain that we looked at on last week from the book of Romans, it said that whom he did foreknew, these he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And them whom he predestined, these he also called. These he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. And so it says that we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. So God wants, he's calling you right now. If you can hear my voice, that's what the Bible says, and I repeat it again today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as those in the provocation. There were some people who provoked God to anger after he delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. And then they decided that they would murmur and complain, and they desired Egypt more than they did the land of promise that God had promised them. And so those corpses fell in the wilderness, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And so God set forth Israel to be an example for me and you, not to lust over evil things. And that's a tall order, because it's so easy for us to do. And he said basically all those corpses fell in the wilderness over there. And only, you know what happened? Those people who came across the Red Sea with Moses and Joshua, they came across the Red Sea on dry land. God consumed their enemies behind them when they tried to pursue them. Then they get over into the wilderness, and you know what they want to do? Go back to Egypt. They started to complain against Moses. Moses, what you bring us over here? Would to God that we were back in Egypt. That's the kind of thing they said. And the fact is, they lusted for that old life, and that's easy for me and you to do. But it's a tragic thing, beloved. And it's something you and I need to think about a lot. You know what the best things that happened in my life thus far are? The things that God has wrought in my life. I'm not up here trying to say I'm perfect, because I'm not. I need God every day. I need to pray. I need to have him in my life. I need him to intervene so many times. But we just really have to be right there. That's where we really need to be. We want to get into the fact that it's about relationship. God wants me and you to have a good relationship, and if you have a relationship with him, you're going to tend to be righteous more and less unrighteous, because that's the character of God. And God says, I am willing to forgive you and bring you along. Moving back to Moses' psalm here, I wanted you to see that he understands that God is eternal. He is with you all the time. He has been there from everlasting to everlasting. He says here, you are God, and that you turneth man to destruction. Those who continue to practice evil, he turns them to destruction and says to the children of men, return, come on back. God is always saying, come back. Don't keep on going down the evil path. Stop it. Turn around. Come back. Let me help you, like the prodigal son. Then notice this. It says on here in verse 5, Psalms 90 and 5, I'll carry them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the night. And in the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. And in the evening, it is cut down and withered. Life is so brief, we don't have any time to waste. You and I have no time to waste. Trust God right now, no matter who you are. Talk to him about your situation. He's listening. He's an on-time God. Somebody wrote a song. Yes, he is. And he's right there waiting on you and me to turn around and say, Lord, help me. Even if you are saved, sometimes the saved have the same kind of problems. And I have to tell you that I won't sugarcoat this thing. I know that even the saved have issues and they have problems. They have things that they are not ready willingly to. They certainly don't want to discuss it with other people in the church. So sometimes it's difficult for us to even get up the desire to confess it to God. But the scripture says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So there's a lot to be accomplished in the fellowship of the saints. And this is something that I want you to know about. God loves you. Everybody is really like you. We're all kind of pretty much the same. And the only difference is that God makes a difference in your life when you trust him and you believe him, when you start to walk with him. And it is by faith. Faith is that knowing that God has given you to know that he has given his son to cover you for your sin. And that without him, you can't do anything. That's what real faith is the fact. It's the substance, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And it was by faith, and it starts to give a list of all kinds of people all the way from the beginning of the scripture, from Abel clear on through. And he said, time will fail me to tell you of Samson and Jephthah and Barak and all these other people who were saved by faith. And you look at the lives of those people, beloved, and you'll find out that God really is a gracious and merciful God. He's got people on the list like Samson and Jephthah and Barak and all of these people and Daniel. All kinds of folks are listed there. But these were not some stained glass, precision, little perfect people. These were folks who had struggles with their life, just like you and I do. They called upon God by faith, and they received the blessing of God strictly by faith. That's one thing I have to say. I know my time's getting away. That I really love about the Bible is that it doesn't sugarcoat anything. It gives you the life of people like we looked at last week, like Hannah, who had a real problem in her life, real problem in her marriage, real problem with her body. Her body wasn't doing what the bodies of other women were doing, and she was just really jacked up in her mind about the hand she had been dealt. But yet she had enough finesse in her heart to know that God will take care of this. He's the only one that can help me. And she poured out her soul to God. We were talking about that on last week, and she began to pray till she ran out of things to say. And so you and I got to take this thing serious. We need to take it seriously that God is the one who can help us with the predicament that we've gotten ourselves into. Nobody else really can help you. Now, God can use people. He does. He always uses people some kind of way to help you. But the fact is, the root of my problem, I need to take it to the Lord. If I take it to the Lord, leave it with him, he can deal with it. And because of Romans 8:28, I'm going to connect this for you here. Now listen carefully. Romans 8:28 talks about the providence of God, how he is over everything. He was working, if you look in the word, you find out he was working with pagan kings, with all kinds of people, folks who weren't Jews. And that's amazing to some of the Jewish people. But if they really look at it, they'll find out, yes, God used Nebuchadnezzar. He used Ahasuerus. He used Darius. He used all kinds of people to accomplish his will because God is in control of everything. Just like today, you and I, let's bring it up to date. God is now going to be using whoever's in the offices in this country. He's using the people who are seated in other countries. We could say Putin and Biden and Trump and all the people who are out here doing stuff. They think they're doing what they want to do, but God's will is going to be done when it's all done. So you and I need to be aware of that. We need to understand that God works all things together for good to the ones who love him and are the called according to his purpose. And he already told us how things are going to turn out. So you know what? I'm not trusting politics. Politics can do whatever it wants. But the fact is, that doesn't mean I'm not going to vote. I'm going to vote. I'm going to do everything I'm able to do to try to keep things going in the right way for what I feel convicted is best according to God's word. That's how I vote. So I wouldn't say I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a socialist, I'm a any of those titles because I don't go for that. I go for the people who I think will help God carry out his will. They will do the things, not that they help him, but that stand for what God stands for. That's the way you have to pray and have the way you need to see yourself if you're in Christ. And don't let politics run you. Let the scripture run you. Let God's word tell you what to do and how to behave. And that's what I do. So I'm not subscribing. But I want you to see that God is working everything in the world, whether it be from somebody who doesn't believe him or someone who does. He is able to work all things together for your good and my good, if we are the called according to his purpose. If your life has a purpose for the things that God has said in his word, that you trust his son, who is the only savior of the world, and he raised him from the dead, and you believe that in your soul and in your heart. God says, I'm working everything else out for you, no matter what it is, just like he did for Daniel and his three friends. They were in captivity after Jerusalem had been overthrown. But yet God was still with them as the king sat there and said, well, if you don't bow down and worship this idol, I'm going to cast you in the fiery furnace. Y'all read about that in Daniel chapter 6. The fact is, God was there in the mix of that whole thing. He had control of the king. He had control of the servants. He had control of everything, including the fate of those who had faith in the midst of that type of a temptation to fall down and worship an idol. And they said, no, we won't do that. We might do some of this other stuff, you see, because it's not really listed to be sinful. But when you start talking about bowing down to another god, that's it. We're done. Because our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we don't really care. Just send us on to him and he can take me home now. That's the way they felt. And yet God came right in the middle of that situation with pagan kings and pagan rulers all in the world, and he delivered his people right out of it. Amen. He's able to do that today. We hear of threats and wars and rumors of wars over on the coastline of the different countries, and they're putting in their troops and everybody's all lining up for war. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God says, I got your back. I got your front. I got you on top. I got you on the bottom. I am the God who works all things together for good to the ones who love me and are the called according to my purpose. If I called you, you have a reason and a purpose why you're in the world, and I'm going to work everything else around. Doesn't mean just church stuff or just Christian stuff. I'm working everything together for your good and ultimately for his own glory. Isn't that awesome? So God loves you, and I want you to see that Christ is in us, and this is just Moses concurred with it there in the book of Psalms, as we just looked at. And I want to get you one more here, hopefully, and time has not gotten away here yet. But I want you to understand that one more thing before we wrap it up is that I want you to see that in Romans 8:28, it says, for we know that God works all things. He's working everything together for your good and for his glory. So for that reason, we ought to give him praise. We ought to give him thanks. We ought to come to him. Like he said, come unto me, Matthew 11:28, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and in me you shall find rest for your souls. God says, I want to rest your soul in me. Just know me and walk with me by faith. And so he says, I will direct your path, Proverbs 3:5-6. So it is the kindness of God that leads me and you to repentance. And I wanted you to see those other verses here for the Bible study today. Again, I want to thank you, those of you who sent in emails and messages about how the message on this past Sunday blessed your life. And I want you to know that we are praying for you, the things that you talk with me about. I have one gentleman who always writes in and keeps in touch, who sent me a notice about some things that were on his mind. And I hope this has really reached out to let you know that it is God who gives repentance to the ones who trust in him. It's not something I can generate myself. If you are the called, God has called you from everlasting. He is the one working everything together for your good and for his glory. And he is the one who, in Romans 2:4, said that it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. So he is the one that brings us to repentance. You can ignore it. You can think that it happened some other way or that there's something else going on, but Almighty God says, it's me. I am your Savior alone, and you should, for that reason, trust him and give him praise and give him your glory. Amen. We don't have much more time here this evening, but I want to thank you for being with me this evening. We pray that this lesson has really blessed your soul, and we would like to let you know we are the St. Timothy Christian Church. We are located at 11532 Larimore Road in Spanish Lake or St. Louis, Missouri, 63138. You can tune in online at teachingbible.org, just like it sounds, teachingbible.org. And that will connect you with resources that we have made available for you free. You can check out our messages way on back to 2003. You can tune in to our podcast Also, we have a link from Amazon.com. If you start your Amazon shopping there, then they will Amazon will make a donation to the ministry based on the sales that from the time that you click the link. In other words, when you want to buy Amazon, go to our teachingbible.org, click the Amazon link, and then everything else is normal from there, and they'll know that you want to help Straight Gate Ministries continue to preach the gospel and share the word of God. Amen. So we thank God for you, and we hope you did get a benefit from this message. Go ahead and send any comments. You can write them down below there. And, of course, we like you to comment, like, and share the messages here on Facebook. We thank the people of Facebook for making this platform available. Amen. And we hope that it is a blessing to you. Look forward to seeing you on this coming Lord's Day, and Lord willing. And we hope that you got a blessing from the message today. And we thank God for you. If there are any prayer needs, you can send them to teachingbible@gmail.com. Teachingbible@gmail.com. We can answer those emails if you send them there. And it is our pleasure to help you understand the Word of God a little better. Amen. So you have a blessed evening. And we look forward to seeing you on this coming Lord's Day. And may God add a blessing to the hearing and the doing of His holy word. Amen.